Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure as always. You're going to be glad you stayed with us because we got Terry Niesbeck with us. Terry is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a good friend, an outstanding spokesperson, outstanding advocate for small business. She's also a distinguished fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis and has worked many, many years on behalf of not only small businesses, but especially women business owners. And she's our good friend, Terry Niece. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good to talk to you, Jim. It's been too long.
I know. We've missed you, and we're glad you're back. You've been busy, though, and recently you testified before Congress about some of the proposed tax policies that are coming down the pike. And I'd like for you to talk to the audience a little bit about what you told.
Yeah, I was really pleased that they held a forum specifically to determine what's the economy doing to small businesses right now, but the administration's budget in terms of proposed small business tax increases, what is that going to do to small business? And bottom line, essentially my message from the NCPA is any more mandates, regulations, or tax increases on small business, and you're going to see many, many more of them close down. We cannot handle one more thing on our back. In terms of the small business tax increases on those who make $250,000 or more, the problem is, and Jim, it was amazing, I thought, to see the congressmen and women, when I explained to them about flow-through businesses, that what happens to small business on as a flow-through, an LLC or a subchapter S, the income that you get, that they say you get, is income that you really don't put in your pocket.
Right.
And so I think there was a renewed awakening around the table of, oh, my goodness, these people really don't get the money in their pocket. So if we want to talk about that more, I just lay that out there right now as that was my message.
Well, that's a very important message. And I wrote an article and a blog post about this about a month ago, Terry. And I said, and in that post, I described a business owner. And it was a female business owner, and she and her husband have combined income of a little over $250,000, but 75 of it is her payroll, her own salary from the company. 95 of it was from her husband's business, his salary as an employee of his company, and 100,000 of it was profits from the business that got passed through to her,
right,
but actually existed in the form of inventory, receivables, et cetera, not in cash in the bank.
Right. Right.
And yet this person is going to get an increase. And the title of my article was The Truth About Taxing Those Wealthy Small Business Owners.
Yeah.
I don't think that lady and her husband feel wealthy.
You know, taxable income doesn't equal cash flow.
That's right.
And so what happens is, as you know, as a small business owner, we pay ourselves a pittance through the year to get through the year. And at the end of the year, we get a W-2. And then if we have, for example, a subchapter S, we get a Schedule K.
Mm-hmm.
And that Schedule K, we have to file whatever the so-called profit is. We have to file that on our individual income tax.
Right. And it's income, but it's but when it comes to us as a form of income to be taxed, it's a taxable event. But if we don't have the cash, it's what the accountants call phantom income.
Right, exactly. So you know what they have been saying in Washington is it's no big deal. It only impacts 3% of small businesses. Well, first of all, why would you single out this fraction of innovators and job creators?
Right.
However, our analysis, the NCPA analysis of this, is there's 1.3 million small business owners that will be affected by this. And this will generate about $30.4 billion. So that's $30.4 billion that could be out there innovating and creating jobs and building wealth in the community. So it is an issue that is critical for small business, and we need to be talking more about this issue.
Well, that's exactly right, and I've been talking about it a lot on my show, and I'm glad you've been doing it. I'm glad you went to Washington and talked to them about this but the problem, it seems to me, Terry, it's not so much that they don't understand it. And I say they. I'm talking about the people who are pushing this, whoever they may be, Republicans, Democrats, mugwumps, whoever they are. It's not that I think that they don't understand it, or even when you explain it to them that they now understand it, but that they have a different philosophy about the way the marketplace works and the way it should work, and about who they want to decide who the winners and losers are, rather than letting hard work and success and failure decide who the winners and losers are. And you're not, I don't know that we're ever going to change the minds of people like that, Terry.
Well, you're right. And, you know, there's a fundamental difference here. And what we're turning to is a European model. And that is the last thing that we want to do. Our founding fathers created this country on entrepreneurship and freedom and being able to innovate and do whatever you want to do in this country.
Including fail, if you do.
Including to fail, absolutely.
Yes.
We learned so much from that word and from failing. But we are turning away from that model and turning to the European and socialism model. And God help us. For those of us who are out there fighting against that, we have to band together and make sure that the world understands that that is not where American people want to go.
Here's the irony about that, Terry. Europeans are hungry for entrepreneurship.
They are. It's reversing, and
yes.
You're absolutely right. And if you talk with a number of folks on the ground in Europe, they will say to you, "We would love to be like America, where we can create our own businesses and do whatever we want to do, and not have the shackles on us." So we need to learn from that.
Well, that's the problem, is there's so many things being proposed right now. We don't have to wonder what they're going to look like. We don't have to say, wonder what this will look like in 10 or 20 years. All we have to do is look at these proposals and then cast our eyes across the Atlantic to Europe, and it's already happened over there, and they are tired of it. They don't like it. They want what we've got, and here we are trying to get what they've got, and
yeah.
I don't understand it. I feel like I live in bizarro world, Terry. Hold on to that thought. Terry Neese is our guest, folks. She's with the NCPA. We'll be right back after these messages. Here's that crazy Englishman, Joe Cocker, bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Welcome back. 23 after. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We got lots of stuff there that will help you. It's all free. All you got to do is show up and come in and hang out with us, use our stuff, and we'll even send you stuff. You can do that. You can subscribe to a lot of things on our website that we'll send you, and you don't have to come back if you don't want. I mean, we like it if you do. You're welcome all the time. But check out my blog, my knowledge base, my newsletter, and subscribe to those, and you got 5 seconds, you got 15 minutes, we got something for you. Terry Neese has deposited many, many pearls of wisdom with us over the years. She's the president CEO of the Institute for Economic Empowerment of Women.
That's correct.
And that's a new organization, isn't it?
It's about 3 years old.
Yeah.
And serve as a distinguished fellow at the NCPA.
You are at the NCPA, National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org, right?
Yes, correct, ncpa.org, and go online, look at what we're doing. We're talking about a lot of small business issues, not just this proposed small business tax increases, but also, for example, health insurance and the importance of portable health insurance. By the way, Jim, I held a roundtable discussion last week in New York City with Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers, who's actually from Washington State and a part of the Republican leadership The NCPA is bipartisan, nonpartisan. So we work with the Democrats and the Republicans. Kathy just happens to be Republican. And we had a discussion about these proposed small business tax increases and also about other mandates that are coming down the pike for mm-hmm. small business owners. There were 14 women business owners around the table. They were almost screaming at each other. They were so upset about
wow.
what's happening with the economy, the proposed tax increases, and finally, the problems with the mandates that are getting ready to hit us that people are not talking about.
Like what?
And that's paid sick days,
yep.
mandating paid sick days on employers, lowering the numbers of small business owners that would be involved now in mandating Family Medical Leave Act. So we're taking it
below
50 employees down to 25.
Yeah, that's going to affect a lot of businesses.
A lot of businesses.
I actually know businesses who refuse, who are managing their business so that they have less than 50 employees.
Absolutely. And we're going to go to a 24 society. Where people will, as a matter of fact, I spoke to a lumberyard owner from Atlanta, Georgia, who has 29 employees right now, and he said, I'll just get rid of 5 employees and
mm-hmm.
go down to 24 employees,
yep.
and I'll hire temporaries to get me through the times that I need additional helper.
Well, there are other things out there like the so-called Employee Free Choice Act.
Exactly.
The union bill, and I talked to a lady, a very successful lady, from Texas. She makes furniture, and all of her, she is an American manufacturing company, and she said, "I will move my plant to Mexico before I will unionize."
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about that, and we just have to make sure. The NCPA obviously is not an advocacy organization. We come up with ideas to help solve some of these problems. Rather than doing the mandates, for example, let's provide portability, flexibility, voluntary, fair policies, and personal policies. Let me just give you one example on portability. We should allow employers to purchase individually owned health insurance
mm-hmm.
with pre-tax dollars and allow the employees to take the insurance with them when they leave. I mean, we're kidding
that's
ourselves.
That's the way our society is structured these days.
Exactly.
It's not structured like a 20th century society.
Exactly. I mean, we don't live an Ozzie and Harriet life anymore, and people don't work one job their entire life. The average is 7 careers in a lifetime. So we have to get the portability issue implanted into the workplace. And this is one way to do that, is to allow small employers, any employers, to purchase individually.
But the political reality, Terry, is that we're heading toward the opposite of that.
We're going toward the European model, which is very unfortunate. And it is a model that is unsuccessful because those in Europe look to America as the country that is doing the best job to allow entrepreneurs to innovate and create jobs.
Well, I'll tell you, folks, if you want to see how things are in the way that they're being proposed, go to Europe and talk to a business owner about their tax structure. Now you're going to need to take notes because it's not a 2 or 3 things list here, Terry. When they start talking about the different taxes that they pay, you're going to have to make notes on a lined sheet of paper because they've got lots of different kinds of taxes over there.
Yeah, and as do we. I mean,
but not anything like in the levels.
That's true. But you know, by the time you add up all of the taxes, your withholding, your state withholding, your grocery sales tax, if you live in a state where there is a grocery sales tax, and
right.
you just keep on naming them.
But Terry, I've got to wrap it up. What we've got to do is folks like you and me and others we've got to be vocal about this, don't we? In our opposition,
we have to be vocal about it. Go to our www.ncpa.org website. Take a look at what we're doing.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Terry, for being here. Good job today. Thanks for your hard work.
Good to talk to you.
Terry Neese, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back, I promise. I want to take a quick break. Right back with Gene Siciliano right after these messages. We're going to do some things. We're going to talk about helping you collect your money a little quicker. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.